day, and we're in the wintertime. I can feel the cold, but thank God you're here tonight. And I'd like to ask you, would you please take your King James Bible and turn back to Genesis chapter 26 to complete what we began this morning. Genesis in chapter 26. How many of you, by the way, are reading through the Bible? I'm going to do more sermons from the Bible reading this year and tie it in. So it's important. I encourage you to read with us through the Bible this year again. You may be tempted to leave it. Stay with it. I encourage you. You get something fresh all the time. And in Genesis chapter 26, remember that we saw that Isaac was blessed by God with blessings of the Lord that were showered upon him, so much so that the enemy of the Israelites, the Philistine people who lived in the land, they couldn't help but seeing how God was just showering Isaac with blessings. And it was to the point, it reminds me of the Proverbs, when a man's ways plead the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the Philistines saw God showering Isaac with blessing. And even though they were worldly people, unsaved people, they wanted to make a covenant with him so that they wouldn't be destroyed somehow. They were afraid of Isaac and the blessing of God on his life. Would to God more people in the world were afraid of the church. Right. Would to God more people realize the presence and power of God in the church, in our community. And I believe that's something that we can have and that we should have. And so the question this morning that we began to answer was, why was Isaac so openly showered with these divine blessings? And number two, also we began to answer the question, how can you and our church also be openly showered with God's blessings? And so this morning in the message, I gave you two things that would cause you to be openly showered with God's best blessings. And we got it from Isaac. Number one, from Genesis 26:12, the first part, Isaac sowed in the land, in the place where God called him to sow his seed. And we said, by your sowing the gospel seed, wherever God places you, you bloom where you're planted there, you sow the gospel seed and do more of it, and you will be blessed by God like Isaac did. And he got, one of the men tell me, how much was it multiplied? It used a phrase, how much was it multiplied? Brother Luke Zukowski, how much was it multiplied?
100-fold.
100-fold. And I've often prayed the prayer, Lord, I want to sow the gospel seed. I want our church to sow the gospel seed. And I would like you to multiply it 100-fold. And I believe those prayers are still going to be answered if we get out. You know, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. By the way, that's true with money. You cannot outgive God. I just gave some money and I questioned whether I should give. It was an offering and I questioned whether I should give it. And I decided, Lord, I'm just going to give it. I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to give it. And that same day, in fact, that same part of the day, right afterward, he multiplied that like 5 or 10-fold. Just came back. You can't outgive God. I'm telling you. Keep those promises to God. Don't come under, don't have your, you're not cursed, you're blessed if you're saved, but your finances can be cursed, right? He can do that, and he can do that if you're robbing God. And so don't do that, and get the blessing of God and sow it, and do it with the gospel. I've determined this year, more than last year, I'm going to sow more gospel, and I'm watching it every day. I'm watching it every week and tracking it. And so that is a key reason why this church is blessed and why you could be blessed as an individual. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Jesus talked about the Great Commission. He said, go out and give the gospel. He said, baptize people that you lead to the Lord and then train them to do the same thing you're doing. I know people in the church that are doing that, and the Lord promised you a blessing. He said, and lo, I am with you always. And that's exactly, and that's not talking about every Christian. That's talking about when you're obedient to sow the gospel. And he's saying, I'm with you. And what did these people see in Genesis 26? They saw that the Lord was with him. People can see it. And they saw it in Stephen's life. They saw it in the early church in Jerusalem, that the Lord was with them. Would to God more churches were doing what Isaac did with the seed. And it puts me in mind of what I preached on in Matthew 13, verse 23, where Jesus said, when you sow the seed of giving the gospel, here's what it says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some and hundredfold, some 60, some 30. God says when you sow the gospel, there will be people that will fall away that didn't really get it, but there will be people that have good soil hearts and they will get saved. And they will bring forth fruit, and some a hundredfold. What a blessing that is. So you get showered outwardly with these blessings of God that people can see, not only by sowing the gospel, but by your seeking the gospel blessing. And what is that gospel blessing? The fruit that remains, the people that will become soul winners themselves. And testify to it. It was such a blessing for me to see Eddie Brand, who I led to the Lord, coming back on a Thursday night and getting involved with soul winning and getting involved with helping others go soul winning. And what a blessing that is. And there may be some of you, you've done it. Now you're tempted to get away. Maybe the devil has hit you. Don't let the devil stop you. You keep on coming. And you can be showered with blessing. Because, see, you're not just given the gospel. You could do that without a Thursday night. You could do that without a church going. But it's not just going soul winning. It's doing the Great Commission. The Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? That you train others. You're taking others with you. And that is something the Lord said, I will be with you and you will have more fruit tree Christians. And so, what a blessing. So we talked about that and we said not only sowing the gospel seed and doing more of it, but once you sow it, you need to water it. How many of you ever planted a garden? Or planted flowers, or how many of you have watered it after you planted it? Yeah, you're a dummy if you don't. It'll wither up and die. You have to water it. And how do we water? One of the men tell me, how do we water? How did Jesus say, you water the gospel seed that you've sown so that you can have fruit? Brother Kyle, just yell it out. Well, that's what we just said, but how do you water the gospel seed that you've sown? What does the Bible say? What waters it? How about praying in secret and crying out to God for Him to grant the Holy Spirit's power? That's revival praying. That's what we need to be doing. And Jesus said, if you pray in secret, for this, your Father that seeth you praying in secret, what will He do? Reward you openly. That's what He did for Isaac. He shouted. Remember, Isaac was meditating. God gave him his wife while he was meditating. He never had to leave home. He was sowing the seed, and God blessed him. Listen, you water that seed with prayer. And that's why we have a Revival Seekers prayer meeting. Because we want to water the seed and have the Holy Spirit germinate that seed in people's hearts. And so that they have assurance of salvation. Their lives are changed. And I believe we need to be doing that. And our soul winners that go out, at least you could do is be a prayer partner. Amen. And pray for somebody and ask God to bless. And so that is the second thing. I think of the United States. We're praying for this country. And in Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting, we're praying for this country. And you know what? In 1859, there was a preacher that went to New York City and he called a noon prayer meeting and had about two or three people that prayed with him. And he was praying for a revival where people would get saved from being witnessed to. And he got more people doing it. Pretty soon, businesses started doing it. Pretty soon, the thing grew so big, it was spreading all over New York City. They had to have different businesses that shut down at noon, and they were just praying. And the thing spread, and people started getting saved all over New York. And then all over the United States, and it spread worldwide. And it was called the Great 1859 Prayer Revival. And the guy's name was Jeremiah Lamphere that spearheaded that prayer in New York City. And do you know what? That was just before the start of the Civil War. And many people, and my professor in college, Dr. Carter, he told us about how that helped to save our nation and that revival through the Civil War. God used that revival in people's lives and prepared us for the great trouble that the nation was going to go through. Listen, that is the second thing. We need not only to sow the seed, but to seek the gospel blessings by secret prayer and praying to God for revival power and blessing and Book of Acts power and blessing. And so the third thing I want to talk about tonight, how you can have these showers of blessing like Isaac did so that people can see it in your life. And that is number three, by your seeking the old paths, gospel wells. By your seeking the old paths, gospel wells. And I would like to read Genesis 26 and verse 15. You follow. Here's what it says in verse number 15. For all the wells which his father's servants digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with earth. Now keep in mind, the wells were dug by Isaac's father. They didn't have water like you and I have it in the climate. I mean, it was a wilderness. They didn't have the rain and snow. They didn't have that. It was like a desert out there. And the only way Isaac could have his flocks and his herds cared for and alive and growing and thriving, the only way he could plant crops and have food, the only way he could take care of his servants and his household was water. And the only way he could get those water is have wells of water. And Abraham had done that, his father. So he wisely went back to the wells of his father, Abraham, to get the water. But guess what? When he went there, there was a problem with the water. And one of the men tell me, what was the problem that he could not get the water?
The rocks and the earth and the mud and the dirt that the Philistines had thrown at the enemies of Isaac. And
exactly. They threw dirt, earth, they threw dirt on top of these wells and covered them from view so they couldn't get to the water. Now, you can live without food for longer than you think. You can live for 40 days before starvation sets in. And I'm saying that you can do that. But you can't live without water for above about 3 days or so. That's it. You're going to die. And so it is so important that you get water. And Isaac knew that. It was desperate. He had to get those wells. You know, what is sad to me is we have people in the churches today that don't realize the importance of the water of life, that don't realize the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God in a church. And so they don't seek the old time gospel wells that the Bible talks about. And those wells of water are certainly needed, and they were dug by Abraham, and people don't realize they need it today. Here's what we have today. It's in Revelation 3:17. It says, the Lord Jesus says this to lukewarm, wishy-washy modern churches: because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, so many of these Laodicean churches don't realize they're missing out, listen to me, on the old wells of the old time gospel. They don't have it today. That's what we need. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We need the old time power of God. We need the old time religion. And that's what we're lacking today. And people don't even realize they're lacking it. They just go to church and they replace it with money. They replace it with all kinds of things. And they have these big churches, but they're Laodicean. And just like Isaac desperately needed water to keep going and growing in the wilderness, so you and I need the Spirit of God to give us the blessings of the old time religion. But it says the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with herb. You know what? One of the things that would help you to get the blessing of God is to read about the men who had the power of God in the past. To read the biographies of the men. But something I found out in my quest to read the biographies of men that had the power and blessing of God, and young men, you need to do that. You need to read about the great men of God that had the power of God. I remember when Brother Jack Hiles said he wanted the power of God in his ministry, he went back and read about Christmas Evans. He went back and read about Jonathan Edwards. He went back and read about these great men of the past like Whitfield and Wesley and so forth, and read about the blessing of God. But one thing I found out, that when you try to check out the old time religion of these men, that the enemy throws dirt on them. And you go to a website, there's all kind of garbage about great men of God. You get on that computer and you know that comes from Satan. It comes from the enemy, because he does not want you to inquire. His method is the same. It's just like the globalists. They don't want Donald Trump to get elected. They steal the election and they just have the media talk against him. It's the devil's old trick. Don't fall for it. His trick is slander, dirt. He throws dirt. And the enemy was throwing dirt on Abraham, on the wells that Abraham dug. And they're saying basically, forget about Abraham, Isaac. Don't remember Abraham. Don't remember the wells that he dug. Don't even go for that. And Isaac, he was being hindered by these Philistines. And I see young people today, they're turned off to great men of God and the old-time religion. And they won't even listen to it. Oh, that won't work today. But you see, Brother Joe and I, we know we went to the old pastor school there in Hammond, Indiana. We saw the power of God. We saw what God was doing. We saw it ourselves. And I come back to tell you, don't listen to these liars, these slanderers of the old-time religion, the old-time gospel wells. This church is that kind of church. Why? Because we saw it. And we wanted what Abraham did, the men of God of the past. We wanted that, and we're going for that. And I have seen these things, and you know what? Here's what Isaac did. He did something wise. You would be wise to do it too. It says in verse 18 of chapter 26, I'll read it. It says, and Isaac digged again. I like that. Digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father called them. Listen, we're still calling the same names by which the old fundamentalist Baptist of the past called things. We're still doing it. We're not changing the names. Oh, people are changing the names of their churches. First Community Church. Well, I might as well say First Wishy-Washy Laodicean Church. No, this is Scranton Revival Baptist Church. They're not changing the name. And we don't need to change that. We need the old time religion. We need the old past. We need the old power of God. We need the old stuff of confrontational soul winning. And we're not going to change that. But people do it, you know. And they don't do like Isaac. And so often these great men of God, they die off. And the enemy covers up what they had. And there's no younger preacher that says, how about let's do this same thing that great man of God did? How about let's do it? And you know what? I just decided I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to find out what the great men of God did, and I'm going to do it. And that's what I've set out to, and not let anything discourage me from doing. And that's what Isaac did. And the Bible says, you know, in the Judges, the book of Judges, after Joshua and the friends of Joshua died off. And then the people left God. They left his word. And here's what it says. It says, and also all that generation, speaking of Joshua and Caleb, were gathered to their fathers. And listen, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And we have that happening today all around us. And the old-time great fundamentalist believers, they're being covered over and not being copied and not being followed. And so God has withdrawn from so many churches. But when those men died off, the people backslid away from the old-time religion. But I want to say God still blesses that old-time religion. I remember years ago, you know, my generation, the baby boomers, for the most part, they turned away from what the fathers told them. And they turned their backs on it. And they left it. And I remember they had the movement. How many of you have heard of the hippies? The hippies, yeah, that was a big movement back then. Hey, the guys wore the long hair and had hair down to their shoulders, you know, and rebelled against God, who said you need to have short hair. Brother Jose, you were out, and I was preaching. Somebody was mad at me because they said, oh, Pastor Bloom, I don't want to listen to you. He said we have to have short hair. We men have to have short. He was preaching that. And so he was mad at me because I preached you have to have short hair, but that's exactly what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. He said, well, Jesus had long hair. Well, do you have a picture of Jesus with long hair? No, there's no photographs, you know. You go by what the Bible says. He didn't have long hair. He had short hair. That's what the Bible said. He went by the Bible. So I'm just saying to you, people turn away, and this hippie guy, they had the long hair. They got into marijuana. They got into drugs. I saw my friends that get into marijuana lost all their initiative, and it destroyed them. I've seen it. I've seen the hippie stuff. They got into the bad music of the world and pulled people away from God. But they got saved, but they took the world with them. And they thought the best way to reach the world is to be like these kids that are in the world. So we'll dress like them and act like them and talk like them. And this guy was telling my buddy, Dr. Jack Hiles, he was saying to him, I want to tell you how to reach young people. He said, you know, why don't you? He had not seen his church, but he just was telling him. He said, why don't you get a coffee house like we do? And we let, you know, smoking go on in the coffee house. They can go in there and they can, we have the rock music, you know, going on in the coffee house. They love that music. It's great. We have it going on. We turn the lights really down low. It looks like a nightclub. They like that. And it's really relaxed atmosphere. And he was saying all that they were doing. And Jack Hiles said, well, how many people do you have in that coffee house? He said, we have like about 25 last night. And he said, now you're trying to tell me how to reach young people. He said, we just take them back to the old time religion. And he said, we have more people in our bathroom on a youth night than you people have in your coffee shop. We have more people in our bathroom. And I saw it. And I'm just saying to you that God blesses the old-time religion. And so I've just taken Jeremiah 6:16 to heart. And I want to quote it to you. Here's what it says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Boy, I tell you, when I left this King James Bible, when I became a neo-evangelifish preacher at the beginning of my ministry, Brother Joe was here, he knows, did I have a lot of rest for my soul? I didn't even have encouragement in church services because somebody would just come in and mess it up. I'm just saying to you that this is the way of blessing. Seek the old paths. Seek the old gospel wells that will give you the power and blessing of Almighty God. And let me give you an illustration of this. I've got a Bible here. It's an old King James Bible. And I want to give this to someone. Where's Brother Zukowski? Is he around or is he AWOL tonight? Where did he go? Took off, huh? He's in the bathroom. Okay, maybe he's sick. He's allowed to get sick. Amen and amen. All right, so I want to give to a young person that's serving God. I want to give something. So Brother Jose Valley, come on up here. Come on up here. And I'm going to show you what is going on here. Isaac redug the old wells that Abraham had. And our youth pastor has taken what I have given him, and he's been faithful with it. So let me see what Jose did. I'm going to give you this, and you take it. Amen. So there's another generation, right, that takes that old-time religion. I took it, and I'm passing it on. I'm giving it to him, and he's taking it. And now let's get a Gen Zer up here. But Luke, why don't you play the Gen Zer? You get over there, and you just stand a little bit back from him. Now you hand the Bible to him. Offer it to him. Whoop. What happened there? He didn't take it. You stay here. He didn't take it. So maybe I should just quit. It's not working. Didn't take it. What, you happy about that? You happy? Well, I'm not quitting. He can be happy all he wants. I'm not quitting. I'm taking the old-time religion. I'm giving it to Jose. Jose, don't you quit. Ben, come on up there. Offer it to him. Amen. Praise God. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Give them all a hand, including that backslider guy. Amen. Thank God for that. Listen, I'm just saying that this old-time religion, you should seek the old past gospel well and pass it on. And there will be people that will take it. There will be others that will, like Jeremiah 16, it says, we will not walk therein. They won't do it. They'll refuse it. I've had that happen. Remember Moses? Yeah, the people of his generation, they didn't take it. But Joshua took it. Caleb took it. And I'm just saying that we need to take it and pass it on. And so I'm saying some things that I am passing on to you from great men of God that, listen, I saw the dirt and the attacks on the great men of God. And I could have listened to it. Just like I don't listen to the attacks and lies about Donald Trump, I'll vote for him again. I said, I'll vote for him again. And I'm saying I don't listen to the lies and the attacks of great men of God, whether it be Jack Hiles or somebody, and I'm not afraid to say their names. I'm not afraid to say their names. Some people are. You see? Why? Because they're ashamed. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the gospel, nor of what? Me, his prisoner. Some people are ashamed. And when a great man of God dies, they change their standards, Brother Steve, and they give up on it. I'm not doing that by the grace of Almighty God. And I'm going to pass it on to another generation. And you can take your strength and take your youth and use it. So after I'm gone, you can carry it on and pass it on to somebody else. And I'm saying this to you tonight, that if you want to be blessed outwardly so that people can see it, don't be sidetracked into these wishy-washy Laodicean churches. But stay with the old paths and the old wells of gospel religion, the old-time religion. And that's a biblical word. Religion, if it's built on relationship with Christ, is the true religion. So I want to just say some things that I would pass on to you. One is confrontational soul winning. Confrontational soul winning. What does that mean? You go out and you give people the gospel. You know what these wishy-washy churches say? Oh, don't just confront people with the gospel. That's too uncomfortable. That is not effective. That doesn't work. Well, isn't that what they did in the book of Acts? Check it out. And Jesus said, go and teach all nations and baptize. He said to do that. But they say, oh, don't do that. They came up with lifestyle evangelism. Just live your life before them. And when they see your life and get saved, that's wonderful. And that happens once in a while, but you're not going to reach the world that way. No, we're not going to do it that way. Then another thing is altar calls and immediate baptism versus training classes. You know, what do people do today? They say, well, if somebody really trust Jesus Christ, then you need to put them in a training school and see whether they're really going to pan out. And then if they really pan out and follow through, then you baptize them. Because otherwise you're going to baptize people and you're not going to see them again. Well, listen, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you go, you get people saved, and you baptize them immediately. And you know what? I told you about Brother Hiles. He was in Jamaica, and he was having a conference down there, and he was talking about the Great Commission, and a guy raised his hand, and he said, Brother Hiles, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, go ahead. He said, what's your plan when a person gets saved as far as baptism? And Brother Hiles said, well, I'll tell you my plan. When they say that they're saved, I enroll them in a class, a training class, for about a year. And I see if they're going to be real. And after that time, if they're real and they stick with it, then we'll baptize them. He said, that's my plan. And the guy said, exactly. That's my plan too. And then Brother Hiles said, but wait a minute, that's not God's plan, buddy. God's plan is that when they get saved, you baptize them immediately. Then you start to train them and teach them, amen, the ways of the Lord. And if they stick with it, wonderful. And that's exactly what I pass on to you. I've received that from the Bible and from great men of God, and I pass that on to you. Amen and amen. And I've had people, when I did that were in this church, they went with me through battles, but they said, we can't go with you with this immediate baptism. And they had to leave. They couldn't put up with that kind of thing. And I said, well, you just go and do what you believe, but I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do. And I'm glad I did, and I haven't stopped that. And praise the Lord for that. Now, by the way, another thing I want to pass on to you is the old King James Bible. Not the modern versions. There is something lacking in the modern versions. And it is something I see Satan is doing. He's getting people to leave the old paths, gospel wells of the power of God. And we need a Bible that is inspired of God. Every word is inspired of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now listen to me. It's only reasonable if God says that you're to live by every word in God's economy, then wouldn't it be reasonable to think that God preserved a Bible with every word inspired in it? But yet the modern Bibles have 5,000 differences from the King James. And it affects crucial things. I've talked to people, and it depends on a word sometimes. And that word is so important. And so I want to pass on to you the old-time Bible, the old-time religion. Thank God for that. Another thing I want to pass on to you is not just the death of Christ for our sins, but the blood of Christ. People say, well, all we need is the death of Christ. You don't need the blood so much. It's the death. But wait a minute. Christ couldn't have died by being strangled with no blood. He couldn't have died by being smothered with no blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Just like cancer can't be remitted unless you get the right treatment. Hey, your sin can't be taken care of without the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed on Calvary, and the high priest would take the blood and put it in the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 9 says that Jesus entered into the heavenly Holy of Holies, not without his own blood. He sprinkled it there on the mercy seat, just like the high priest did. And so that blood is important if you're going to live a life of power and overcome the devil. How'd they overcome the devil? By the word of their testimony. What was one of the things that they overcome the devil with? The what? The blood of the Lamb. And so I'm not going to minimize the blood. And another thing I want to pass on, it's part of the old time religion, is the old fashioned standards. You guessed it. Here's what we're going to separate the girls from the ladies and the men from the boys. It says in the Bible, Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. You know, you go to these bathrooms, and what do they have as a picture of a woman in a woman's bathroom? They have it up there with a woman with a skirt on or a dress, and a man's bathroom has the men with the legs, you know, with the pants. Women wear dresses or skirts, and men wear pants. And the Bible says in Isaiah 47, 2 and 3, the uncovering of the thigh is what? Nakedness. Women can go around with their shorts and uncover their thighs, but that's not God's standard. And there are people that say, we will not do that. But let me tell you, I've determined if you're going to be a leader in Scranton Revival Baptist Church, you better be willing to receive the word of God and act on it. The old paths, I'm talking about the old time religion. That's what you and I need to look for. So listen, I want to conclude by saying this. Do we want the blessing of God on our family? Do we want the blessing of God on our church? We don't have to go down to Egypt. God said to Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in the land and sow the gospel seed. Stay in the land and seek the gospel blessing of lives that will be changed by the gospel, that will be humbled to be fed the word of God. And then thirdly, by seeking the old paths, gospel wells. You do that, you won't regret it. And I'm not talking about being holier than thou. I'm talking about being kind and sweet and nice. But you just determine, as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord. Not a holier than thou, but a testimony. So that wishy-washy Christians, wishy-washy churches and preachers, unsaved people, they can see that you shine for Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me, thank God for Angela Bajeski, a great example. They may not have her standards, but they see her love. And they've seen her testimony and her kids and have talked to me about it. Just recently, numbers. And I want to say it tonight. Thank God for that. Young lady that took it and is passing it on. Do the same. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about